Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 43, beginning at the first verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, the words from today's gospel lesson, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." That is what our Heavenly Father said about his Son, our Lord Jesus, when he was baptized at the Jordan River, and rightly so, as God is right in all his words, because one of the other gospels reminds us our Lord Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. That's a little redundant in a way. You think about that word, fulfill, it's two parts. And what are the two parts? Full and fill. But maybe it's a word that's necessary to describe what went on there, and that is that our Lord Jesus, by his baptism and by all of his work all the way to the cross, satisfied what God our Father required. All of it, for all of us, for all time. There does not remain a requirement still that has to be fulfilled by a Christian person. You are right with God. You are a child of God, and you too are well-pleasing to your Heavenly Father because of what Jesus did. You can say, his obedient life counts for me. His sacrificial death counts for me. He says to me, you too are my beloved child, in you I am well pleased. That is promised to you in your baptism. That's promised when the preacher says, I forgive you your sins. That's promised to you when you receive Jesus' body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. What those things are all street signs. Street signs that tell you which way is which, to tell you what is what, to tell you that how you look at the things that are in front of you. And so, with a long introduction, we're left with a question. Question raised by the Old Testament lesson, and that is this. Knowing all of those things that I just said to you, so what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Now, the answer comes flying back in your face. Well, do you have eyes in your head? Do you have eyes in your head? How many of you have been following all of the fires that are going down south? Have you seen all the storms that are going on in the eastern part of our country? Have you heard about that new virus that's cropping up in China? Do you know that the national debt just keeps getting bigger? Have you heard of wars and rumors of wars? Do you know that nuclear arms are proliferating? Do you know that an asteroid might hit Earth? Do you know that planet Earth is warming? And on a more personal note, what if I get sick? What if the doctor says there's nothing we can do? What if I don't have enough to pay the bills? And we could sit here in church for hours on end talking about all the things that we could be afraid of. So what are you afraid of? Actually, fear always asks a question itself too. It gets in its two cents. Fear always has a question, two words, what if? What if? What might happen? What could happen? What is going to take place? What will happen in the future? And what you need in place of what if is something that's solid, something to answer back to it. Not what if, but what is. Not what might be, but what will be. Not what could happen, but what will happen. And so Isaiah 43. And now thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, the one who created you, the one who formed you, do not be afraid, because I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You belong to me. When you cross through the waters, I'm with you. When you go through the rivers, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not consume you, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, I am the one who saves you. Now those words there do not say, or they do not even imply, that nothing bad ever happens to a person. Because that wouldn't do us any good. If nothing bad ever happened, we would never seek the Lord. If nothing bad ever happened, we would never look for something else. If nothing bad ever happened, we wouldn't look for life eternal together with the Lord and set our hearts upon those things with Him. And besides, you live in the wrong world for nothing bad to ever happen to you. You need another world, a different one, that operates under a different way of doing things. You know, the old folks, in their rather quaint way, used to call this present life a veil of tears. A veil of tears. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came into this world, what happened to Him? He suffered. He was opposed. He was abused. He died on the cross. And yet, in spite of it all, a Christian person still says what? You speak the words of the 23rd Psalm, and what do they say? You know them by heart, may they penetrate into your heart. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me. How many days? All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Those are the words of the Lord. It's like the old Christmas hymn. It says, let us all with gladsome voice, because it's Christmas, let us all with gladsome voice praise the God of heaven, who to bid our hearts rejoice, His own Son has given. To this vale of tears He comes, here to serve in sadness, that with Him in heaven's fair homes we may reign in gladness. Don't be afraid. It comes to us over and over again in the Bible. Why so much? Because we're always afraid. Don't be afraid. The Lord says, today's lesson, I have created you. In other words, I wanted you to be here. Don't be afraid. I have formed you, from today's lesson. The Lord exercised loving care in making you just as you are. Don't be afraid. I've called you by your name. He knows everything that pertains to you, everything that goes on in your life. Don't be afraid. You belong to me. It's still the lesson speaking. The Lord is not careless about His possessions. Don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. And it's in those words that everything holds together, because if you're not redeemed, then you have no promises, nothing from the Lord. You just have impersonal forces that are at work out there. But if you do have the Lord Jesus, if you do have your faith in Him, you got 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Jesus that we utter our amen to God for His glory. Simply put, that verse says what? God always says yes to His children. Even when He's saying no, He's saying yes to something better. And so what do you say? If God says yes, what's your response? Amen. What does amen mean? Yes. Means the same thing. Yes, yes. I heard somebody from their catechism. Yes, yes, it shall be so. God says yes, and a Christian person says yes. And so when the Lord says to you, I've created you, you say what? Yes. I have formed you, the Lord says. You say what? Yes. I have called you by name. What's your response? Yes, I have redeemed you. What's your response? Yes, you belong to me. What's your response? Yes. So, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? In World War II, when our soldiers invaded France, the German army took the signposts in northern France and turned them all around. So if you wanted to get to Central Point, how do you get there? Well, you go south about 200 miles, and there's Central Point. If you want to get to San Francisco, how do you get there? What's right by Jacksonville? turning all the signposts around. Why? To confuse our soldiers so that they wouldn't know which direction it was that they were going. Devil still does the same thing today. The world still does the same thing today. Turning the signposts, steering your eyes, steering your thoughts, steering your trust, and putting them always in the wrong direction, on the wrong place. And so, yes, you can say, yeah, but what about the fires? And what about the winter storms? And what about that new virus that's coming along? And what about the national debt? And what about the wars and rumors of wars? And what about the nuclear arms? And what about the planet warming? And what about the asteroids striking the Earth? And on a more personal note, what if I get sick? What if I can't work? What if I don't have enough money to pay the bills? What if the doctor says there's nothing more we can do? Boy, the devil just loves steering that signpost, doesn't he? And your eyes go over here and go over here and go over here. And the Lord says, you know what? Let's just put it back. Let's put it back where it goes. And what do we say? We look to God's word. We look to our baptism. We look to Holy Communion. And these things all point the signpost back in the right place again. They point you back in the real direction. They point you back to the Lord. They point you back to Isaiah 43. And now, thus says the Lord. I know what the devil's doing. I know what the world's doing. But thus says the Lord, the one who created you, the one who formed you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, because I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You belong to me. And if you belong to me, I say to you the very same words that I said about my son. You are my beloved child, my beloved son, my beloved daughter. In you I am well pleased. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.